You know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
The birthday boy is in the house. The retired HBO godfather, happy birthday. Your birthday's coming up in a few days. Of course, the anniversary of Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson. What was that like to spend your birthday in Japan with such a monumental event like that?
Well, I didn't even think of it because of the time difference at the time. But later on, when I would try to figure out when the fight happened, and I realized it was on my birthday.
Wow, that's something. You know, I've how can I put this? I've talked with every heavyweight champion since I guess I talked with Engel for a couple of minutes at one point in time in New York City, and Floyd Patterson in depth and this and that. But I never had any conversations with Leon Spinks, even after he retired. Obviously, because of the age factor. But what was Leon like more than was there more to him than what he put out front? In other words, when I was around him, he never pretended to be more than what he was, and that was just a country boy.
I was between jobs when he had that brief flight of fame,
okay,
for beating Ali. So I didn't know him very well. I knew his brother a little better because he was a great light heavyweight and who won a heavyweight championship briefly. And but Leon just seemed like a disappeared person by that time.
You know, I saw him one time, and I walk up to people with the microphone, you know, it's all right, boom, surprise, spontaneous interviews, and it didn't go that well, and I didn't air it, and he wasn't the greatest interview in the world. On the flip side, though, his brother, Michael Spinks, was like the polar opposite. I mean, he seemed to be a success in business. He seemed to be a success in the ring. He seemed to be it just like they were just polar opposites. I mean, I always used to ask Mike, how's your brother? And he would always he never really straight up answered right away. He would think about it before he came up with an answer. So, and he was always concerned about his brother, Leon. Leon passing away this week at the age of 67 from prostate cancer. And by the way, folks, prostate cancer, if you check it early, it can be taken care of. Right, Godfather?
I wouldn't know.
Okay, well, that's what I've been told. Okay, let's talk about your career at HBO. When you went to work at HBO, did you think it would last 30 years?
I had no idea. I had moved around a bit, as most journalists do.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I was trying. HBO, at the time, was just starting out with boxing. I just assumed that boxing was just one of my jobs at HBO. I wrote stuff. I did other things. But the boxing took off, and we stayed on the runway.
Did anything top boxing as far as bringing people to watch HBO in the early days? Was that the catalyst?
I'm not sure, but I think it was. HBO was just something of a startup,
mm-hmm,
and nobody knew what it was, including the people who had started it up. They just were starting something because of the cable revolution, and
They went for years. It wasn't HBO. It was home box office. I mean, home box office. They wanted to make sure that it was home box office. It wasn't HBO. When was the conversion to HBO? Was that just like off the cuff?
Well, when people got to know,
mm-hmm,
that this was a new network, in addition to ABC, CBS, and NBC, and that we were doing daring and breakthrough kinds of events, both scripted and unscripted, fiction and nonfiction, And we were going farther than other people were in certain aspects. We could show delayed comedies from Las Vegas with foul language.
Mm-hmm.
We could put on fights and be fair and outspoken about them, and so on. And gradually, it achieved an identity for doing bold and awfully good stuff.
And then came the second wave, I think, of HBO, was when the Boxing After Dark series started. And, of course, that was recently the anniversary. We're talking about Kenny McKinney and Marco Antonio Barrera hooking it up there at the Forum. And I remember doing a radio show at the Forum offices, the Forum office work right across the street from the Forum. I remember doing a radio show and then coming over and watching that fight. That was an epic fight. But I'm getting drawn here in memories at the Forum. But back to HBO. It started off as just, I kind of put this, it was, nobody really talked about it except for boxing, and that was all I've ever heard about HBO, boxing. And then once we got hooked on the boxing, I think then the comedies came along, and I think that was revolutionary. Of course, then HBO brought us The Sopranos, maybe the greatest TV series of all time, huh?
Right, and that was a big breakthrough event. But I think there are people outside of HBO who have suggested to me that the way we covered boxing and sports in general, gave the people who ran HBO a clue into where they were going, because they didn't know they were going there. One of our major bosses was against long television series, and then there was a change, and so it evolved in a certain way that was bold and crazy for their times. Boxing was a natural fit for HBO, because it had virtually disappeared from the networks, and HBO had a lot of money to spend. It was much like Netflix at the moment in terms of breaking through with new material and as a new device, and Netflix is outflanking everybody, and everybody wants to be Netflix now.
Yeah, but there's no great fights on Netflix. Maybe you're fighting over the remote control.
Well, right. True that, Pedro. You are a sharp observer.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We are celebrating the birthday of the retired HBO Godfather, Mr. Hall of Fame himself, Larry Merchant's in the house. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio. We've got a brand new Sirius XM satellite radio channel. Radio channel, channel 217. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And misery.
Footnotes in a long book, and boxing will carry on without us.
That's a Larry Merchantism. We have a lot of Ali-isms on the show. That's a Merchantism. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The retired HBO Godfather is in his lair down there in Southern California. It's beautiful up here today, Godfather. How's Southern Cal?
Beautiful down here.
Yeah.
By the way, you've mentioned my birthday a couple of times, but you haven't mentioned which birthday it is.
Well, I leave that up to you.
Well, I'm proud of it. I'm not ashamed of
it. Well, some people, I know. Look, you're turning 90. I mean, that's incredible. In fact, you know, you are, how can I put this? I try to use you as an example, and I don't want to overstate this, but I try to use you as an example when I have conversations with people that you know, that are people that are 55 and 60, and they're starting to slip because they don't read, you know, they don't stimulate their mind, they don't exercise their mind or anything like that. And I try to use you as an example, say, you know, he rocks and rolls, he reads the entire New York Times from cover to cover every day, which is boring, Larry. But, anyway. You know, what else, I mean, what's your day like when you get up in the morning? Besides reading the New York Times, what do you do?
Well, I get up in the morning, usually around 9 o'clock in the morning. I have breakfast, which usually is a tangerine and some prunes and maybe some blueberries and milk. And I'm reading the papers, and I watch a television show to find out what the news is of the day. And by that time, I have a light lunch, and I'm out and about. I do the shopping for the family, and I also go to Palisades Park, which is a bluff overlooking the beach and the ocean, and take a walk or carry something along that I want to read.
Mm-hmm.
When I get back, I do some exercise in my gym, maybe for a half hour, and
then it's kicking.
Gather the rest of what I have to read or telephone calls, whatever.
You know, somebody shot me here a text regarding Leon Spinks. Did you guys do the Leon Spinks Larry Holmes fight?
I don't think so, but okay. Could be wrong.
That was one of, you know, he was talking about the fierce. That was one of the most fierce stare downs I ever saw in my life. I thought Larry Holmes should have been arrested for domestic violence. He beat on him that bad.
You mean the Michael Spinks fight?
No, the Michael Spinks fight you guys did. I know that, but there was there was a Leon Spinks and Larry Holmes fight in 1981.
I don't recall ever doing a Leon Spinks fight.
You know what, Larry? I don't ever recall going to a Leon Spinks fight. is that you know? He's just a footnote. I'm talking about a footnote in history. He was just a footnote in history. He caught Ali, I think, in not less than desirable condition, and an old man, and that kind of good stuff. And he was able to eke out a 15-round decision.
Right. You know, there have been occasional throughout boxing history. Guys who flared up for a moment and flared out a moment later. But because of the brothers, because they both fought in the 1976 Olympics,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of unusual, Leon Spinks was probably known better than Michael Spinks for a long time. But the turtle beat the hare, and Michael Spinks became a hell of a fighter and a good attraction.
You know, Michael Spinks and I don't know how it happened, but three different times we ended up at Debbie Reynolds' restaurant in Las Vegas at the same time eating all-you-can-eat crab legs. Three different times. No, we're talking about three different trips to Vegas. We're not talking about like 1-2-week stay in Vegas.
Well, maybe he was there every day. And every night.
I think it was $8.99, all you can eat Alaskan King crab legs, and I'm an Alaskan King. Once you've had Alaskan King crab, you don't want to eat that dungeon of stuff up here in Northern California, believe me. It's like, nah. Anyway, garbage. Back to, you talk about the 76 team. You know, everybody on that team really flourished. Even Leo Randolph for a minute won a title just for a minute. Was that the greatest Olympic team of all time as far as boxing was concerned?
Well, certainly as far as professional boxing was concerned,
Howard Davis.
Howard Davis, right. But the fact that they could build their careers during the Olympics attracted the top amateurs. Amateurs used to turn pro early. If they were good enough, but by going to the Olympics, they could build their brand. Sugar Ray Leonard had his first professional fight on national television. So it became a place that that for a number of Olympic years attracted the best amateurs, and many of whom became professional stars.
You know, that 76 team, Mike Trainer took over Leonard's business. He was a Washington-based attorney. I called him Top Cat because he was really a good guy. He really took good care of me. He was an outstanding guy. And Shelly Finkel had some of the 84 team as well. And I think that of all the guys on the 84 team, only Mark Breland did not break into his annuity. In other words, there was an annuity set up. Shelly Finkel set up annuities for these guys where they would get like $50,000 a year for life after the age of 50. Or something like that. All they had to do was not touch it. Well, all those guys touched it, except I think Evander and Breland.
Well, two pretty smart guys. I know of a number of situations similar to that. Joe Frazier, for example, when the business people and civic leaders and so on in Philadelphia got together and raised money so that he wouldn't have to have a day job and could concentrate on boxing. But part of the deal was how they saved his money.
Mm-hmm.
But he broke into it. And I'm not sure how much was left when he left us.
Coming up on 50 years, Ali Frazier, I know you did a big thing for Ring Magazine. You know, people, I try to tell people that the world stopped because I lived about two doors off Mission Street in San Francisco, which was like the busiest street in the city outside of Market Street, but probably the busiest street. Anyway, there was no traffic. The buses weren't even moving during Ali Frazier 1.
It was a major social event. It was as if the country had chosen sides between Ali, who represented a certain kind of freedom and brought showmanship to promoting his fights, etc., and Joe Frazier, who was adopted by the by people who were not so much for change, I'll put it that way,
mm-hmm.
conservatives.
Yeah.
And so it was like their lives depended on it. Were their kids going to grow up to be Ali or Frazier? Were they going to just punch out at the world and make a good living? Or were they going to be Ali's, potentially? And so they were part of the social ferment of that time. Everybody was taking sides. And the conservatives won the first fight, but they lost their money on the second and third fight.
You know, when I look at Joe Frazier, I mean, he was a personality, but how can I put this? Joe did it his way. I mean, I'll put it in the other frame. I've never seen a more mentally tough man in my entire life. That first Ali Frazier fight, he was so focused. That was the epitome of mental strength for me that night. Not physical strength, mental strength.
Well, I think that's a good observation. I thought it was. I've never seen anybody as determined as Joe Frazier was on that night.
Nope.
He pushed himself beyond endurance. And it's not widely remembered, and understandably, but Joe Frazier was in the hospital for more than a week after that fight. And it was not just from the many blows he took. It was from the extraordinary effort he made of walking through Ali.
That was just amazing. You know what was sort of cool about that was I got to listen to that on the radio. And I think I did the last fight in the radio. I did an HBO broadcast. The statute of limitations is past Godfather, so they can't do nothing to me. But it was Holyfield Bo, I think, down there in Las Vegas, one of the big heavyweight title fights. I went in the press room. I did the show live on the radio.
You did?
Yeah, I did a fight live on the radio, blow by blow, just like that. And, you know, I think it was a Don King show, and HBO was doing it. But I said, how the hell with it? You know, so if you guys didn't spank me on that, I was part of the team.
I didn't know. Welcome, teammate.
So what do you and the Godmother have planned for this week? Anything? I mean, I know you're...
Yeah, well, I'm not sure whether we're celebrating my 90th birthday more than we're getting our second vaccination.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And they're both big, put it that way.
You know, I am like on the next age bracket down as far as getting the vaccine's concerned. I can't wait to get it. In fact, Larry, I'm seeing that like 25% of these people don't want to get it. Fine, let me take your place.
Well, it's sad that people feel that they can somehow beat this thing, and many of them will, but some of them won't.
Godfather, and polio, smallpox,
I can remember,
measles.
I can remember polio, the polio craze when I was a young man or an old kid, and my mother warned me not to go into any swimming pools and so on, and it was a big deal, but we beat it.
Yeah.
And but there are people who think it's some government plot, or they just want to challenge convention. I don't understand it really.
I don't think anybody understands it. But Godfather, what we do understand is your birthday is coming up. Happy birthday! I love you, and I thank you for the time you spend with me each and every week. Thank the Godmother for me. Give her a big kiss because she makes you happy.
Thank you, Pedro.
You are the greatest. Larry Merchant on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Happy birthday!